It is the Full Press Giants podcast presented by the Full Press Podcast Network. My name is Ryan Cuneo. I am the managing editor of Full Press Giants, recording this on Sunday, October 24th, after the Giants got their second victory of the season, 25-3 at home against the Carolina Panthers in week 7. And I did not see this coming. I don't think many Giants fans did, considering the Giants were, you know, decimated as an overused word in sports parlance these days. But the injuries that they took, especially on the offensive side of the ball going into this game, it made it seem like it was going to be hard for them to overcome. And they would have needed, and they did wind up getting, a great defensive performance. But that seemed unlikely, given the way the Giants' defense has performed to the so far this season. But this was pretty much, like, I don't want to call it domination because it was a close game basically until the fourth quarter, just because the Giants, they just don't have the firepower offensively right now to really pull away from teams. But they controlled this game the entire time, the entire 60 minutes. I usually like to give out percentages of, you know, when the Giants lose, blame pie, but then when they win, success pie, you know, reasons for why the Giants lost. And I'm going to say 70% of the reason the Giants won is because of the defense, but just know that couched into that is how bad the Panthers offense was today. Sam Darnold was butt cheeks all game. He was 16 for 25, 111 yards. He averaged 4.4 yards per attempt with a pick, too. A horrendous pick where he just made it was a bad decision combined with an inaccurate ball, and it was just an awful throw with terrible footwork and mechanics. He was really bad today. He started off okay, like kind of overrated his start just because they were using him on the ground a lot. He wasn't really excelling as a passer, but the last few weeks he's kind of struggled, and he was awful today. He even got benched in the fourth quarter for PJ Walker, who was worse at 3 for 14 for 33 yards and 2.4 yards per attempt. The Panthers offense was dismal. I know they're they've been missing Christian McCaffrey, and the rookie receiver Terrace Marshall was out as well. But the Giants, and they're missing their left tackle. So, you know what? The Giants and Panthers injuries, the Giants have it worse just because they have more guys out. But the Panthers had some injuries they had to deal with as well. But they just didn't deal with it nearly well enough. And for a guy like Joe Brady, the Panthers offensive coordinator, who is, you know, supposed to be this up-and-coming, you know, savant of a coordinator, he did not handle the adversity that he had dealt with in terms of injuries on his side of the ball. He did not handle that well. And Jason Garrett really did. But yeah, we'll get to that later. But yeah, the main reason the Giants won is their defense. And they were actually able to generate a pass rush, especially an interior pass rush. Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence both balled today, drawing holding penalties, just getting sacks, creating pressure, making Sam Darnold uncomfortable in the pocket. Aziz Ojulari, I think he, you know, I don't know for sure. I have to check on the snap count. But it seemed like he played a more prominent role today in terms of the amount of playing time he did get. And he capitalized on it. I know he was going against the Panthers' backup left tackle, Brady Christensen, who I think he was like a day two pick for the Panthers last year. So it's not like he's like some, you know, some no name or somebody who is supposed to be terrible. Like the Panthers have hope that he can develop into a starter for them, sooner rather than later, most likely. And Ojulari pretty much had his way. The front seven really played well. The back seven, or the back four or five, you know, depending on what formation the Giants defense was in. But they played really well as well. Bradbury got the pick, obviously, on that terrible Darnold throw. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, those Panthers receivers didn't do much. DJ Moore had 6 catches for 73 yards, so that's not a bad day. But it's not like he, you know, torched the Giants or anything. He had mediocre production. Just everybody on the defense played well. The Panthers played really poorly. That has more to do with it, I know. And defense performance for the most part, unless you have a really dominant unit, it has more to do with how the opposing offense plays than how you play for the most part. But, you know, I'm not going to take credit away from the Giants' defense. They got pressure. They made Sam Darnold uncomfortable. They did their part in forcing a mistake-prone quarterback in Darnold to make mistakes. They didn't give him all day in the pocket like they've been giving other quarterbacks so far this year. And they took advantage of his mistakes for that interception. He made a couple errant throws. They were able to get off the field on third down a bunch. You know, they were able to get the ball back to their offense. And their offense, you know, credit to them. They were able to control the ball as well for the most part. The Panthers were 2 for 15 on third down. That's horror awful. I mean, the Giants were 7 for 16, which is okay. It's actually pretty good, but yeah, the Panthers 2 for 15, awful. 2 for 4 on fourth down. They only had 11 first downs all game. Yeah, that was a dominant performance by the Giants defense. Like, it was, if the Giants really wanted to, they could have won this game 5-3. Like, they were winning 5-3 for, like, most of the first half and parts of the second half. They could have just held on, which kind of would have been weirdly more satisfying. Like, it's good that they wound up, you know, steamrolling them 25-3, but a 5-3 victory, like, that would stick in Giants fans' minds for a long time just because you never see that score. And, I don't know if that just would have been a fun way to win, but I'll take this. I'll take any way to win at this point. So yeah, 25-3. I'm definitely not complaining. So yeah, hats off to the defense. Hats off to Patrick Graham for bouncing back after he's been taking a lot of criticism, rightfully so, for the way his defense has played so far this year. So yeah, hats off to the defense. They played great. And the other, so that's 70% of the reason the Giants won is the defense. You know, with a little Panthers being bad at offense mixed in there. 20% of the reason the Giants won, I think, is Jason Garrett's game plan as the offensive coordinator. He came in knowing, and maybe, you know, you would have liked to see Garrett have this game plan last week as well, but last week they thought Thomas was going to play, and they thought Tony was going to play, and they both left early with injuries. So, you know, obviously you want Garrett to adjust end game as well, not just come up with a good game plan coming into a game. But I can understand not reacting especially well to those injuries since they happened early on in the game when you thought you're going to have those players available for the entire game. He came into this game knowing, I'm not going to have my left tackle. I'm not going to have my top three receivers, pretty much, with Galladay, Tony, and Shepard. Obviously, you know, no Saquon. You know, an injury-plagued offensive line going back to, you know, the Nick Gates and Shane Lemieux injury. So he knew that going in, and he ran what looked like, for the first time in his entire tenure, a modern offense. So many rollouts, so many bootlegs, getting Jones on the move, taking advantage of his athleticism, you know, hitting guys like Slayton on comeback routes on the sideline, you know, getting Evan Engram involved on little crossing routes and screens and kind of slip routes where he can then use his speed after the catch to gain more yards. Just a really good job of understanding he can't run the offense, which Jason Garrett typically likes to run. Keep in mind, Jason Garrett, if he had his druthers, would run a drop back, play action heavy, you know, max protect, throw the ball downfield, taking advantage of Daniel Jones' strengths, which is throwing the ball downfield. And, you know, carving up the defense on deep strikes. That's what Jason Garrett would prefer to do. And obviously he can't do that right now, given the Giants' offensive personnel. Last year he didn't have the personnel to run that offense either, and he adjusted by running nothing but, you know, short, curl, stick concepts, you know, three-step drop, keeping Jones in the pocket, but just making it super quick so basically Jones can't read the defense, and he just has to make basically a pre-read decision, who am I going to throw the ball to, and then he's going to throw it on these little quick hitting routes, which, especially to guys like Engram and Slayton, who don't have the most reliable hands, that leads to interceptions, that leads to drops, that leads to mistakes. And what he did this time, and Maybe it is the influence of all of the offensive coaches the Giants brought in this offseason, guys like Russ Callaway and the like. He adjusted by saying, I'm not going to just run a super quick, three-step drop passing game where my quarterback has to stay in the pocket and get rid of the ball within, a second, or else it's a disaster. He says, I have an athletic quarterback. I'm going to use him to get out of the pocket, buy him time so he doesn't have to make a split-second decision on every down, and I'm going to be able to roll him out. He'll be able to have more time to then, even if it's just half a field that he's reading, he'll have more time to read that half field and then make a better decision with the ball. And listen, it's not like the Giants offense was a world beater, but it's pretty much impossible for them to, go off given the injuries that they have. But they did about as well as you could hope. No turnovers. They got, let me see here, how many total yards did they get? They got 302 total yards, which is respectable. As I said before, 11 first downs. They moved the ball. They moved the ball pretty well against the Panthers defense that came into this week, this game. I think they were ranked sixth overall in total defense in the NFL. So it's not like the Panthers defense is a pushover. And the Giants moved the ball. They wound up scoring 25 points. I know at least one touchdown of that 25 points was in garbage time when the Panthers had totally rolled over and just given up at that point. I feel like they kind of gave up too early. Like they benched Darnold for Walker when they still had a chance to win the game, and they were still within a couple scores there, and it seems like they just kind of stopped trying. That was kind of, honestly, kind of a disgraceful performance by the Panthers, but I digress. This is a Giants podcast. This is not a Panthers pod. I would hate to be a Panthers fan right now, so but as a Giants fan, I've been in some pretty dark places, so I know what it's like. But yeah, great game plan by Garrett to finally use his quarterback's athleticism to mitigate some of the talent deficiency that is surrounding his quarterback. We've been clamoring for it as fans for a long time. He finally delivered, so kudos to Jason Garrett and the entire Giants offensive staff, coaching staff, for making the correct adjustments and executing a game plan despite the injuries on that side of the ball. So good for them. And then, yeah, the final 10%, to make it 100%, the final 10% of why the Giants won this game, I'm going to say Daniel Jones's performance. And you look at his numbers, certainly nothing to write home about. He went 23 for 33, barely over 200 yards. He had a passing touchdown. Had a rating, 95.9 quarterback rating, so his rating is better than what his raw stats would suggest, only averaging 6.2 yards per attempt. But for the Giants to win a game like this, he had to play mistake-free, error-free ball, and he did. For the most part, I don't think he missed any throws. There was the one deep ball to Slayton when there was kind of a guy right in his face just as he was letting it go. I think that probably adjusted the trajectory on the ball because Slayton was open on that. But I'm not going to kill Jones too much for that just because there was a guy right in his face when he threw it. So I think that kind of threw off his mechanics and he wasn't really able to fully follow through on the throw like he wanted to. But yeah, I can't really remember any other missed throws, any other missed opportunities that Jones left on the table. He played an efficient, clean game, and that's what this required for the Giants to come up with the victory. They couldn't give the Panthers opportunities. They had to take opportunities from the Panthers, and that's what they did. And yeah, he did it. He excelled. I mean, obviously, the most memorable moment from this game was that crazy one-handed catch he made on that Philly special type play at midfield. It's weird that they broke that out at midfield to gain, 7 yards, however many yards they got, 10 yards to get a first down to get them, just into Panthers territory. It's weird that they broke that play out there. But he made a great catch on that, on not a great throw by Pettis. He just did everything the team asked him to do at a pretty high level. And it was good to see, especially after last week when he threw those three picks. One of them wasn't his fault, but two of them certainly were. You're like, uh-oh, is Daniel Jones the Daniel Jones turnover factory. You're going to start churning out a lot more picks and fumbles. And after that, after that first four games where he played really clean football. And it was good to see him come back and say, no, he's still that guy that we saw from the first quarter of the season who has corrected his turnover issues, and corrected his ball security issues, and he can still play clean, efficient football. And it was good to see. And it's not one of his gaudier games, but honestly, it might be one of his more impressive games, given what he was working with and what he was able to do despite the offensive limitations. So good for him. And good for the Giants, because it's not going to be a good quarterback class in the draft. So if he can continue to play well and show that he can be someone you can win with, that'll be really good for the future of this team. Hopefully, the Giants are still 2-5. They don't have a good record. So, futures of Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge are still tenuous at best. But hopefully, even if they do bring in new management, they can see that Jones is a capable starter and stick with them. And then the Giants don't have to, try to search for another quarterback, I should say. Because that would be kind of frustrating if they had to start over at that position. But yeah, that's it. That's the full credit pie for the Giants win. So now what we like to do on this podcast is name our podium sodium players. Basically, our podium players, the three players from the game, the three Giants players, I should say, that Giants fans are going to be happiest with, the players that they want to give a medal to. So basically, there will be a gold medal player, a silver medal player, and a bronze medal player. And then there's going to be the sodium players. Not really today, because honestly, it's not like the Giants had a bunch of players that played well, but they didn't have many players that were expected to play well, especially on offense. So I'm not really going to give out a sodium player. But typically, my sodium players would be, the player that Giants fans are going to be salty at, saltier at, and then saltiest at after this game. Not really in this game, just given the circumstances, but typically that's what I do. But yeah, let's start with the podium players. So I would say the player that's going to get the gold medal for this game is Azeez Ojulari. Rookie pass rusher, second round pick out of Georgia. Like I mentioned before, I'd have to check the stats, the snap count, but it seemed like he played a larger role in this game than he has up to this point, and he took advantage of it. The guy was noticeable all game. He had five total tackles, three solo, 2.5 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss. You saw him using that bend and agility around the edge to get around Brady Christensen, the Panthers rookie left tackle. He clearly won that matchup, dominated that matchup all game. So that was really good to see. So gold medal to Azeez. I think he has 5.5 sacks on the year. So that's good. He's on pace for a big year. He could win Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's probably the favorite for it right now, especially after this performance. That award usually goes to pass rushers because they could put up those sack numbers, and those are the ones that stand out on paper when, it's time for voters to vote on that come award season. So yeah, he's probably the front runner at this point, and good for him, and good for the Giants for getting him in the second round. That's looking like a steal. Gold medal to Azeez, great game from him. Silver medal, giving it to Leonard Williams. He also had a really good game. He was noticeable. As I mentioned before, the Giants were getting consistent interior pressure. Their best players on defense, which are still those interior linemen in Williams and Lawrence, they balled. Williams himself, 6 total tackles, 1 solo, 1.5 sacks, constantly pushing the pocket, making Sam Darnold uncomfortable, getting in around his feet, forcing errors and quick throws from Darnold that he didn't want to make. He was a difference maker, and he's been taking a lot of criticism as well, and I understand that based on his kind of slow start so far this year. But he's been playing well all year, I think. I think he's faced, quite frankly, too much criticism, and it still goes back to the trade, which wasn't a great use of asset management by Gettleman when they traded the 3rd and 5th round pick for Williams when he was on a contract year. I get that, but if you separate the player from the circumstances that brought him here, you can't complain about his performance. If there's anybody that's the problem on the Giants, it's not Leonard Williams. If everybody played as well as Leonard Williams on this team, the Giants would be a playoff team. So I'm not going to complain about him. And once again, he came through with a really solid game today against the Panthers, and he was a big difference maker. And then my bronze medal player, I'm going to give it to Dexter Lawrence for much of the same reasons that I gave the silver medal to Leonard Williams. He drew multiple holding penalties that really stalled Panthers' drives. He was getting big pressure up the middle. That was the Panthers' interior offensive line, whether it was, you know, Matt Paradise or Michael Jordan, left guard, or whoever the case may be. They were not able to deal with his, you know, combination of agility and strength, pushing the pocket. The Panthers, I think, even connected on a couple plays that were called back just because, you know, whoever it was had to hold Lawrence to prevent him from getting to Darnold or, you know, Walker at the end of the game. You know, if you look at his numbers, he had 3 total tackles, but all of them were solo tackles. He had a sack too and a tackle for a loss. He kind of balled today. So, you know, Dexter Lawrence, we're expecting a breakout year from him. That hasn't materialized yet through the first 6 weeks. But today he played really well. And this is the kind of performance that hopefully we get used to seeing from Lawrence for the rest of the year and then for the rest of his Giants career, because he played really well. And yeah, I would say those 3 front 7 players, Ojulari, Williams, and Lawrence, were the 3 best players on the field today for the Giants, and they were 3 major contributors to holding the Panthers to just 3 points, combined with good play from the back end as well, and just the Panthers' own putridity, for lack of a better word. But yeah, man, that's it. Great win. So the Giants are 2-5. I think the Eagles and Washington both lost, so now all 3 of those teams are tied for glass half full. Second place in the division, glass empty, last place in the division. But, you know, the Giants won, so we may as well be optimistic this week and say that they're tied for second place in the NFC East. Woohoo. Patrick Mahomes got hurt for the Chiefs today. They got throttled by the Titans, which is weird to see. I have to kind of see what happened in that game, but you don't expect to see the Chiefs lose by that many points to a Titans team that's good but not great. And Patrick Mahomes got hurt, so the Giants play the Chiefs next week on Monday Night Football. If it's Chad Henne, you'd have to figure the Giants have a decent chance of winning that game. If it's Mahomes, then that's going to be a taller task, obviously, but you know, the Giants should at least go into that game with a lot more confidence than they've had, given that they just steamrolled the Panthers. I know it's the Chiefs. I know they're an entirely different class than Carolina, but especially if Mahomes doesn't play, and who knows? I mean, he had to be helped off the field. He might not be ready to go by next week. He'll have a little bit more time to come back just because it is on Monday night, but we'll have to see. But yeah, if the Giants can win that, they'll go to 3-5. They have the Raiders after that, I believe. And if they can start to get some of their guys back, if Andrew Thomas can get back, if Galladay and Tony can get back, and Shepard, now all of a sudden this offense, if Daniel Jones can continue to play at a good level, this offense can start to regain some momentum that it looked like it was building in that New Orleans game. So this season, I know negativity was at an all-time high the past couple of weeks, losing to Dallas and the Rams the way they did, but if this team can get a little bit healthier, gain some momentum, build off this win they got today, the season is not over. It's not. It felt like it was over. I think I've even declared on this podcast that it's over. But if you look at it rationally, it's not. You know, the NFC, there's 3 wild card spots now, so there's going to be more teams that make the playoffs, obviously. And the Giants could put themselves in that mix if they go on, even just like a little mini run here in the middle of the season, if they catch something, you know. If they catch a break and Mahomes doesn't play next week, you know, the Raiders are a beatable team. They'll have the Bucks after that. That'll be tough. And then after that, it gets a little bit easier schedule-wise. So, yeah, the season is not over. If the Giants could steal another couple wins here over this next stretch, which was thought to be the toughest part of their schedule, they can go on a little run towards the end of their schedule, because they play a lot of weaker teams down the stretch in December. If they can just put themselves in position where they can go on a run and squeak into the playoffs, you know, that's all you can ask for at this point, given the way things have gone so far for the Giants this season. So, yeah, great win. I'm going to stop talking at this point. I've been rambling long enough. But thank you so much for listening to the Full Press Giants podcast. Be back next week after the Giants Monday nighter against the Chiefs. So thanks for listening and have a great rest of your day.